This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. We bring over 20 years of team building experience and we deliver hundreds of corporate engagement events every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insight and inspiration to help you build stronger teams, you've come to the right place. In this episode, we're talking about something a little different, a slightly different style of team building event. We call it the Corporate Fun Day. What makes a Corporate Fun Day work? How can we design it around your team? How can we make it special, memorable, and everything else in between? How can you create something that people will actually enjoy and remember? I'm joined, as always, by my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are you both today, gents?
Fantastic, Jonathan. You know, I like a fitness fad. I'm considering now, just considering, Stephen, so don't get too excited. Pilates.
Oh, that's a big one.
I've got an introductory.
I never thought you'd go that way.
I know. I haven't uptaken it yet, so I might next week decide, no, it's not for me.
But yes.
I'm considering it.
I like going from the explosive to the slightly more genteel. Yeah, genteel. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I think you can pull it off.
I hope so.
Stephen, how are you? Johnny Pilates for you.
It's pronounced plate in my house. Not for me, Jonathan. I'm looking forward to going through the podcast with you from A to B or from B to Q.
Both B and Q. I actually need a new strimmer, actually. You've mentioned that.
Go for petrol.
Yeah, exactly. Every time. I'll go all out. So today we're talking about corporate fun days. Lots of organisations that we work with call them slightly different things. Family fun days, corporate family fun days, summer barbecues, all that good stuff. But really it's the idea of an organisation taking the team and their families, people that they love, all together, somewhere nice, sometimes at their offices, but an opportunity to just have no real agenda other than fun, reward, and make people really buy into the fact that they work for a wonderful company. So that's what we're talking about today, Stephen, and I thought I'd kick off with you. You're involved with so many of the planning of these types of events for us. Maybe it might be a place to start. What are the potential mistakes that some people make when they go about planning these? Okay. Obviously not when they plan with us, but yeah, so, you know, when they kick it off.
I think for us, it's always about being safe and viable. And a lot of that's to do with location, whether you want it at your own offices, at a special venue, a hotel, etc. And that's all about, is it viable to get there? Is it viable to run the event safely? And is it the right mix for your numbers? There's a huge difference between running a family fun day or, you know, corporate fun day for 50 people and 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's got to be dictated by the grounds that are available. And also working throughout the UK and Ireland, I would say that having a wet weather alternative as well, which may not be able to encompass all of the space that was allocated for the event, but having some sort of backup so if the weather does turn inclement with a little bit of notice, we can rejig the programme so we can still offer activities and events indoors along with side with food at that venue and not just either cancel it or have a complete washout. If we wouldn't be prepared to put your own children outside, I don't think that it's a good business prospect to force other people's children to stay outside just because that's what the client booked.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for over 20 years now, so we're pretty clued up onto good venues and what makes a good venue and what is right for the client so that we can protect them to make sure they're safe and have fun from when they drive through the door to when they drive back out the door as well.
Jerry, Stephen mentions venue there in particular, and I think there has been a bit of a shift, hasn't there, towards, or I certainly recognise that we do many more organisations' own sites than perhaps we used to. Maybe that's because of the type of people that we're with. We still do lots at hotels, corporate venues, stadiums, racetracks.
Yeah.
But again, I do notice that more and more some of these organisations, they want to show off where mum and dad work and what they come to do. And I think that's part of the experience, which is a really nice thing that's fit in for a lot of us.
Yeah, totally agree. I think that is the reason.
Yeah.
Show them, because often they incorporate tours. Personally, I think it's the...
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Especially cool when it's like those manufacturing businesses that we work with and pharmaceutical businesses where there's lots of cool tech and machinery and there's forklift trucks and there's all that kind of good stuff.
Helicopters.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really nice that those organisations like encourage the families to see how much effort and commitment those parents or their aunties or uncles make towards the success of that business that they're part of.
Because the employees in most of those, and in all businesses, have to sacrifice time to make the business success, and I think that's their way of saying this is where they come to and this is why it's so successful, and let them feel that and enjoy it. And plus, look, on a normal weekend, some families don't get the opportunity to be together because of work and other duties. So when that opportunity arises, it's a great day out.
Yeah, for sure.
And they run buses, pick everybody up, drop them off. They come with their picnic baskets, their rugs, they pack out all day. Oh, it is beautiful to see and a great to be part of. Stressful, obviously, for us, but for them, it's a great experience.
And I think a lot of companies who work for have been offering incentives for their employees for decades, but just to organise another golf outing for their employees just means mum or dad is away to work again. So the children, if you have children, they don't see that. Whereas to invite them along to Family Fun Day at their workplace shows them a little bit about what mum and dad does, but also includes them in the environment to say thanks very much for the sacrifice that your parents have made. And that's a great family environment. But, you know, we do lots of those similar events where people don't have children, but feel proud to show it off as well, and feel proud to be part of that and the organisation. And again, because they're great at organising their business, they're great to work with us so we can deliver something for them, again, back to the safety and viability. So it's time well spent and a great day that's memorable for all the right reasons.
Can I just jump in? Because we're organising one this year, and this is maybe a small tweak of the future. They're asking their employees to bring two additional people with the family.
Yeah.
Neighbour.
Yeah.
Aunt, granny. I think that's nice. Like,
yeah.
And then Aberdeen, that's just, if it's Scotland, three different cities, and they all merge in one place. And down in England as well, we do that. But especially in Scotland, you do see a community vibe of like we've got offices in Aberdeen, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and perhaps Newcastle or something.
Yeah.
We're going to host it in. Yes, everybody come. Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
And you know, you speak to an important point as well, Stephen, about the fact that, you know, not everyone has families.
Yep.
So there's an important way, and again, the businesses spend a lot of time in working out how they want to continue to attract people, because it's a great opportunity to spend time with your colleagues just in a slightly different environment or setting. And I think that's a really big fit for, you know, the outcome of these people that are planning these events.
And that cuts right across all the divides that are often within workplaces. So you've got security involved, you've got the marketing department, you've got the sales department, operations department, people who are drivers, people who work on safety. So it cuts right through everybody, because they're all equally important in the success of that company, and they want to feel that. That cuts right through all the normal challenges people have of socialising together in a healthy environment, and yeah, gets them feeling that they're all complicit within the success of the business. And realistically speaking, to do it once a year is great for the organiser, great for the company, and great for their employees to be able to take that small amount of time out and reward themselves and rejoice in the fact that, number one, they're still in business, and number two, yeah, they can still all work together and still be sociable.
So, Jerry, we've talked about venue a little bit. Weather is a part of that. What about when it comes to the actual activities and entertainment itself? How important is it that we, you know, work, or that the organiser works to kind of get the right mix for their group? And again, you know, we deliver these, sometimes it is for 50 people, often it's for 400 or 500 people. We do many for the 4,000s and 5,000s as well. So there's a broad range and spectrum there that we work across.
Yeah, for sure. I think budget comes into some of it, but having the right, having something for everybody is probably important. Or the opportunity to have every, because some of the criticism sometimes is there was nothing for this age group, there's nothing for that age group. I think sometimes that puts a spoiler on some of the organisers, because they didn't even miss it if they weren't giving it. And what about all the good stuff? So I would say just a little bit of activity for the little toddlers, the children a little bit older, and then into the teenagers, you know, maybe a little bit of archery or football or something like that is good. But you can go the whole extreme too and have dodgems and like Ferris wheels, and all that is all fantastic.
Possible, yeah.
But I think the one biggest win, and I don't mean to overgen it, but it's just getting everyone together is a great experience. And now with different food options, you can just have like food trucks or pizza truck, or it doesn't have to be the traditional, you know, spread, if you like. You know? So I think as long as you have something a little bit for everybody, and more importantly, a community feel where somebody introduces the event, says welcome, whether it's us or whether it's the client themselves doing it, nice little bit of background music, a little bit of live music is always sensational, because people gather around, sit down beside it and enjoy. The weather obviously plays a big part in that opportunity, but like Steve mentioned earlier, getting indoors and having that available to you is a godsend. I just thought of one mistake, you know, you asked him about mistakes. People overlook rubbish. Rubbish is, you know, you have to remember about the rubbish.
Yeah.
People think, I'll be fine, but it's not fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, we would always remember to people to go back and pick up the rubbish. But on the activities and the food and the experience, less, it doesn't mean worse, and more doesn't mean better. But like, having a nice mix, the youngsters cause you the most problem as a dad, if you ask me. You know, so getting them busy, then you're happy as Larry. You know, you enjoy a bit of food, you enjoy the outdoors, and away you go.
I think, Stephen, for some of the our advantage, if you will, is that we own all our own equipment, and that helps us be flexible when it comes to the choice of activities and entertainment for our guests.
As the years have rolled on, we didn't find it a challenge, but we found it, I guess, an opportunity to be able to engage a teenage audience as well. Because at the early days, we've been doing this for over 20 years now, yeah, you had young children and they were easy to entertain with your bouncy castle and your bungee runs and things like that as well. But as they migrated into more teenagers, we had to come up with something that engaged them. And with virtual reality now and some of the games, we can easily be transportable outside and inside. Yeah, they absolutely love that. In fact, some of them have been there for years just involved in the VR world. But that's great. So that we are investing our business and our time and our money into that so we can keep carry on engaging those people as teenagers, and maybe they'll come back as someone who's an organiser in the future for a different company. But yeah, as Jerry said, we pride ourselves to be able to spend our money, invest our energy, invest our time and our resources so that we can offer something for everybody, whether they want to participate or just be a spectator.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those little moments of atmosphere are important. We run the on-the-spot competitions, and it's always the you know, six-year-old that beats the boss at the, laser clay pigeon shooting finale or whatever it might be. You know, how do you think, obviously we've talked about some of the practicals of the Corporate Fun Day, how do we, you know, get across that kind of message around togetherness and the reason why they're there that day?
It starts, I guess, with the invitation.
Yes.
And now with the online, it's amazing, because 15 years ago, we would have to buy a ticket, I guess. But doing some posters around the office, starting the communication early as 3-4 months in advance, you know, post that data. Radio 1 talk about their big weekend from, I think it's the second week in January.
Other radio stations are available.
Yeah, of course. So I think getting that message out in a colourful, full way. Have competitions too, where you can, you know, some businesses run little competitions like design the logo competition in advance. Oh, little fun things like that to get them. Get people engaged in it, get the message out. Because the last thing you want to hear is, oh, I didn't know it was on today.
Yep.
Like that's just punishing to the business, the leaders, and those that have gone through the huge effort on behalf of the business too, who put in the real work and the real grind and finding a venue, finding a mix. There's a lot of work, I can tell you now, a lot of work that those people put in, never mind what we put in.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's usually organised by committee on top of their normal job. And that is, as Jerry said, not just a lot of work, but a lot of pressure. And they've got to get it right, because they don't want to be apologising to 400, 500, 5,000 people for making a mistake. And those mistakes are usually, you can predict them, and sitting down with ourselves, we can talk them through the venue, the food and beverage, you know, the wet weather alternatives, first aid, etc., just depending on the numbers of people, the timings that are involved, and just the general flow of traffic. And making it specific to the audience, whether there's a lot of very young children, whether it's a teenage market, or whether it's a more elderly adult market as well.
Yeah. Okay, I tell you one great idea that I've seen lately. They had a fancy dress competition.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So they advertised, you know, fancy dress. Others had a football game, five-a-side during it, and others had, we put on a, it's a knockout type thing. So people came in teams of five with their own little T-shirts and everything, and then over a half an hour, you run little competitions. It's not too stressful, but people gather around, sit down, watch it, and then you've got winners. So you can advertise that in the back.
You know, just towards we, as I get towards wrapping this up, I think one of the things that strikes me often, in particular about the Corporate Fun Day, is the repeatness of it and how many times. There are huge number of organisations that were in their 10th year, 15th year. One organisation, we've got their 22nd year this year, you know, which is really impressive. Why does it stick, and why do they keep coming back? Why is it like a mainstay in the calendar of events for these organisations?
I think we make it easy for them to book the event. We make it easy for them to be involved, because it's always going to be their event. We are there to support them. And we offer a huge range of different events and activities to match their current demands and maybe their demands for what they're looking for as the years go on. And also, I think we do enjoy it. We do love doing it. And we love to see the smiling faces walking through the door, walking back out again, giving us a high five, see it again next year. And with especially the big family events that we do, I think a lot of the times it's the children who dictate to the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing. What the best day out. Can't wait to go next year. Can't wait to dress up. What's next? You know, it probably doesn't even cost any more money. All it takes is a bit of time and a bit of thought and a bit of creativity to deliver something different each and every year. And utilise, again, some of our ever-growing expanse of activities, as you said, Jonathan, that we own and that we manage and operate and facilitate.
And if you're in that organisation, there's no denying the cost that business is spent on you as one person, one family. Like you can see it There's the food, generally there's a drink structure too. There's all the activities. There's the transport to get there. There's generally sometimes a day off work for those that do work on a weekend if it isn't a weekend. So you can't go, the company doesn't spend anything on me.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist. And, you know, to a little bit of nostalgia, back in Ireland where my family lived, and my dad had one every year, and it's one of the fondest memories I can remember of going, the smell when you get there, playing. They had pool, you know. Times are tough in that company. Yeah, the pool table. But that's all you remember. You remember your burger, your juice, and a bit of pool, and run around outside. And I'm now of an older age, and I still remember that, like the day and dawn. So you're investing in the children's future as well. And like we know, people are recruiting from a young age. Like you were saying, you're working with 16, 17-year-olds in their graduate program. Some of their parents are in that business, you know, and they rely on that.
Absolutely.
Look at a JCB school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know? Obviously, gents, we've delivered many hundreds of these events over the years. And in fact, I think they're growing in popularity rather than shrinking. There was a small stage where I thought, oh, maybe they might not quite be so popular. But, you know, they're continuing to grow and we're getting more and more new inquiries, or, you know, those kind of organisations are maybe pushing it out to different sites and those kind of things. But all those memories in our back pockets, any particular ones that really stand out to you as, you know, amazingly unique or special, or where they are hosted or where they go and all those kind of good things?
Two quickly come to mind, if I'm allowed to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I once got asked, can you involve horses? So I'm thinking, right? Yeah, I'm sure we can involve horses. So we found a venue big enough, and we had medieval jousting.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it was for 1,500 people, so like, it was a lot of people. The budget allowed it, and it was amazing. They set up the full course. They had the wooden batons, or whatever you call them, the jousters. People really enjoyed it, and they got t-shirts made for, you know, come joust with me, you know, fun. They really lent into the whole thing. You had to come in your medieval costume. They served poisson, you know, small and chickens with goblets. That was like
really
cool.
That
was very cool. And then the other quick one, they wanted some walkabout characters, and we got Pirates of the Caribbean came.
Yeah.
Johnny, it wasn't Johnny Depp, but it was Johnny Depp lookalike. And I remember...
Almost Johnny Depp, yeah.
I remember they arrived and goes, airplane, it's running late. I was like, Christ, you're not going to be able to deliver Johnny Depp, you know? Yeah. But then they arrived in full costume, just looked like him. And the clients absolutely loved him. Photographs all day. The boy was worn out.
Yeah.
You know? But just shows you, small little things like that make the bit, they go from special to super special.
Yeah.
I think, Jonathan, you said that one of our clients has been with us for over 20 years now, which is great. And I always reflect on the fact that, I'm not sure if he does it every year, but many, many years in a row, we put him into stocks deliberately. Yeah. And then the children threw wet sponges at him, raising money for charity. I think his wife maybe spent 500 quid on doing that on the day. But again, that shows him as a real person. And engaging with people, having a fun day. He absolutely loves it. He gets involved with it. He gets all the kudos from it, which is amazing, which I really love. But yeah, he's a real person, having real fun on the day. And yeah, the children love it because they get to not beat up the boss, but they get their own back on the boss, and they're 4 or 5 years of age, and he's the big man in the stocks, and they're enjoying their fun as well, which is great. You know, that's really what we're what we want to try and get to, is that everyone feels involved and everyone has the best out of their day as well.
Yeah. Best opportunity to come. You choose not to come as opposed to not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you miss out if you don't come.
Yeah.
Because the company's paying it on. And also, in a relative sense, whatever the budget is, if you were just to give someone, I don't know, let's say £100 on an envelope, thanks for your work this year. Yeah. Where does that get you?
Yeah.
It gets you pretty far in B&Q, but it doesn't get you that far down the line. Whereas spending £100 or whatever the number might be for a day, 4 or 5 hours, outside, inside, in your venue, definitely creates and redevelops those bonds, which are ongoing for months and months to come.
I'm always brought to mind of some of those organisations that maybe do something slightly different because it's a 10-year anniversary, or we recently did a fun day event where it was their 50th year in business, and they'd booked for many, many years. They wanted to go like all out and they wanted some extra things. So we suggested, and they end up going with like mountain bike stunt show. That was really cool. Yeah. And like, you know, we had people doing chainsaw demonstrations and all those kind of good things. And I always like when some of those clients go, oh, you don't do this by any chance. And we might not own it, but we can get it. So for this year, we have been requested, can you do llama walking?
Yes.
Yeah. So we don't own llamas yet, but we're about to.
About to open up a petting zoo.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I always think that because someone's obviously seen they've been llama walking, probably the organizer went llama walking somewhere, and they're like, oh, you don't do that, do you? So it's nice to be able to go, hey, you know, we don't, but we can figure it out and give an opportunity. And I know, Stephen, you've organized fun days where they've abseiled down buildings and they've, you know, climbed rocks and all this kind of good, because it matched with their day that day. So it's always nice when they push the boat out that little extra bit, just for whatever reason that they want to, you know.
And again, it would always keep the organiser on the right side of the law.
Yes, obviously. I think llama walking's okay. I think it's okay.
It would always keep them right to make sure that's actually viable as well.
Yes, of course.
So again, you know, we'd always say to them, yeah, that is definitely an idea. With the background in the back, it's just not a good idea. Yeah. But llama walking sounds ideal.
Yeah,
that's good training.
I'm all over it. Gents, thanks so much. Slightly different topic for the Team Builders podcast this time around, and talking about corporate fundays. Really enjoyed it though, and thanks for all of your input. Really appreciate it. We really hope you enjoyed listening to the Team Builders podcast today too. If you're looking for some more insights and ideas and inspiration to help your team thrive, head over to our website. It's teamchallenge-company.co.uk. And if you are listening, just you, by yourself, follow us on social media. We'll need one more follower any day of the week. Thanks so much. See you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to that episode of the Team Builders podcast. For more insights, ideas and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders podcast.